Hi.
Hi.
Hello, I'm Leon.
I'm Jesse. This is Dave. And what are we checking out?
The Grind.
On Punk Radio Cast?
That's right.
That's the one, huh?
Oh my god.
It's awesome. It's good times. Morning is broken, my coffee is broken. That from a yo wake up, don't sing through my head. I wake with a shrug, full with a thud. Where in this hellhole is my coffee mug? I can now face the day. On legal speed.
Hey everyone, welcome to Volume 26 of The Grind. I am hanging out with Jesse from Lagwagon. How are you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm doing good.
This is probably what your fourth date on this tour, is that correct?
I believe it is the fourth date, yeah.
Where all is this tour taking you?
I'm pretty much going across Canada to Nova Scotia and then back down to California.
Right on. Now, I've noticed that originally St. Catharines were slated to play with you, and then you're also playing with Only Crime and MXPX. Friends of yours, or from back in the past, or some new friends?
Well, you know, we've kind of crossed paths with MXPX here and there over the last 10, 12, 14 years or something.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've toured Japan with Only Crime. So we're friends with them, or at least the members that we have met, because evidently they have some new members now.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
But of the ones that we know, we're good friends with them.
What is it like to be a band that's been around for so long and to have that repertoire of past releases and to tour all over the place?
Very tiring, but it's good. No complaints.
You guys are known as a relentlessly touring band. You sort of slowed down a little bit now that, you know, life is life.
Yeah.
Catches up with you. What is it like to play like 280 shows, up to 280 shows a year, and, you know, not have a home for that time?
Yeah, well, that's kind of why we slowed down. We used to do, you know, we used to be on tour 10 months a year, and that got a little bit rough, and tensions would start to run a little bit high after the first, you know, 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
So we've kind of scaled it back to maybe 4 months a year or so. Mm-hmm. So.
What has been the best tour experience, if you could just pick one out of your mind so far, in all these many years?
The best tour experience. Probably just whenever we get to go to places that we've never expected to go.
Mm-hmm.
We finally made it to South Africa.
That was just a couple years ago, right?
A couple years ago. We played St. Petersburg this last summer for the first time, so that was pretty cool.
I've noticed there's a lot more fat bands that are going, or a lot more bands in general that are playing playing Russia and just playing like Israel, places that you would not normally see a lot of bands touring to. What do you know what you could attribute that to?
Just people getting bored of the same old places. Mm-hmm. And kind of, I mean, part of it probably has to do with, you know, the, like, how far the music can reach, like, with the internet now and like other, you know, basically other sources, as opposed to just, you know, waiting for the record store to carry it.
Yeah.
Or kind of a word of mouth thing. So I think there are places that probably you know, weren't necessarily exposed to a lot of the music because of distribution or whatever the case may be, that now, you know, are kind of familiar with
that. With the internet and yeah. opens it up.
So that's my guess, but what do I know?
Now, being a band that's been around for a while, what is your take on, speaking about the internet, how that's A, opened things up, but also opened up the other side of things with the illegal downloads?
I mean, personally, I think it's a really cool thing. I think it's a pretty exciting time, like, for new bands in particular, because, you know, now you have this forum where you can just get your music out instantly, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's really cool. I think that a lot of the problems that arise from it are basically, I mean, bands just have to figure out how to work with that system. Mm-hmm. And so I think in the long run, it's probably going to be a great thing for the industry. But right now, everyone's just kind of trying to figure out how to use that to their advantage.
Exactly. Yeah.
But
do you have any ideas on what the new concept for the industry will be?
Inklings? I really don't, but you know, now's the time where you actually really can do it yourself, more so than, you know, any time in the past, as far as you don't necessarily need a label. You don't need a lot of these things that used to be crucial
yeah.
to getting your music out. Now, you know, you can basically, if you're willing to put the work in, you can do everything on your own. So.
Now, you've been on Fat Records for quite some time, since the beginning, I guess.
Yeah.
What, how's that relationship evolved over the years?
It really hasn't. It's just the same.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing, yeah. I think. That's why we haven't left. So it's, you know, they've always just been really good to us, and we've always been really happy with them and what they've been able to do, so.
Wagon with Memoirs and Landmines off of their brand new album out just last month.
Mm-hmm.
I think my older brother used to listen to Lagwagon. How has that been received so far?
It seems like it's been received decently. What would you say, Dave?
What's up?
Come on over, Dave.
It's been received great.
He says it's been received great.
That's the new one. Hey, get a good look at that. That's the one that's Jesse's an epic too.
Now, is that something that you guys really take to heart, critic reviews and that kind of thing?
Not necessarily. You know, it's always good to see a good review,
yeah.
But
a bad one's not going to ruin your day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't really put too much into either or, you know, bad, good, you know, they're just, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Reviews are reviews, you know, take the good with the bad.
Now, you guys are also involved in other musical projects as well. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Musical projects?
Yeah.
Called District of Columbia's. It's Jesse, me,
mm-hmm.
Chris Rest, a.k.a. Leon.
Yep.
Does some solos on it. And a friend of mine, Steve, from the town I live in. And it's like early 80s hardcore kind of thing,
hey,
with a bit of a spin on it. It's really good.
So look for that on the internet, I guess?
Yeah, we've... MySpace.com/District of Columbia's. You can find it. It's awesome. And, yeah, we're just trying to... We're just starting. We just... It's all DIY. We made these. We make everything.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just... it's 6 songs. So, but we wanted to get it out there. It's been something we've been doing for, like, 5 years. And we had all these songs. And we're like, well, let's just make an EP or something.
Yeah.
Seems like the thing to do these days. Make an EP, but you know, so it's cool. And we're gonna start playing shows and doing stuff. So,
also, you guys are involved with Me First and the Gimmies.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, yeah. And there's
what has obviously the re-release almost of the A-sides.
Yeah.
What else can we expect from Me First?
I'm sure eventually we'll probably do an actual new album, you know. But as of now, I don't really know what material it'll be. I've heard a few things thrown around, but don't know exactly at all what we're gonna do. So when everyone's kind of touring schedule mellows out, we'll probably do some more touring for this A-Sides thing, because we just did 8 shows before this tour in California.
Mm-hmm.
So probably next year we'll probably do some more touring, and then maybe somewhere in there just try to maybe do another album of whatever, you know. I'm not really big on the decision making of that band, so I'm just someone who flows with whatever.
What would you like to see? I mean, we've had country, we've had just almost everything, but.
Well, one of the things that has been thrown around, but it's been thrown around for a while now, so it's not necessarily going to be the thing that happens, but is ballads, songs, okay. 80s ballads, or just maybe ballads. I don't know if it's going to be an 80s thing or what it's going to be, but that's something that's been thrown around for a while, so that could be fun. I mean, you know, there's a lot of cheesy ballads, but we're gonna have to weed through them and see what works and what we can tolerate.
What we all agree on.
Yeah. So that's the thing. But yeah, something like that. That'd be fun. Yeah. I think that'd be cool.
I think there'd be a lot of people looking forward to that.
Yeah, but right now we've been playing some of the songs off this A-Sides I hadn't even heard in like 10, 12 years since we did them, because they weren't on any CDs or anything. They were only on 7-inches, and so when we got them, we just started playing like Uptown Girl and some of the others, but it's cool. It's fun.
You mentioned 7-inches. You also released your brand new EP on vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the resurgence of vinyl these days?
Pretty cool, actually. It seems to be something that's been lost with the internet and downloading, you know. And I mean, I honestly, I don't even know, have a turntable, so, and I haven't had one in a long time. But I think it's a cool thing. I mean, once upon a time, I had a lot of LPs, and it seems like there's a bit more loyalty with music when you actually go out and physically buy something.
Oh,
and
yeah.
People collect them, and there's a collectible thing to that.
Medium,
so.
More than just...
Yeah, just, I mean, yeah, because you can't even sell CDs now, so nobody even has an actual physical copy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that, you know, you have to get a physical copy of an LP, you know, if you're a collector of the vinyl. But it's cool, you know, I mean, it's how it all started, and, you know, it's a good thing, so.
I like how it's cyclical, and it just seems to sort of come back to that,
and,
you know, whatever new is coming out, then, you know, there's still the people that... appreciate not just the music but the artwork and the whole package overall, right?
I mean, I always like having the whole thing. I mean, I always still buy CDs. I mean, I like to have the physical copy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put them in my computer into like iTunes or whatever, but I still physically have all the CDs, so that's cool, you know.
RKL as well, members playing that. Hiding off camera there. Would you like to join us here?
He's also in the District of Columbia's right there.
We were talking them up a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
What?
I've never been to a rehearsal, but.
But he's done solos.
Done some solo work.
Yeah.
What kind of challenge is it to be involved in all these different side groups, as well as your own life, and Lagwagon, and try to get it all, you know, touring and all that.
I don't know if it's a challenge. I mean, I think it's definitely a challenge for the Gimme Gimmies, because they got NOFX and, you know, Lagwagon, and it was for a while trying to get Chris Shiflett to have his schedule work out with. So it's definitely more of a thing with them than with Lagwagon. Like my side band, we only play in San Francisco, basically. And
what's it called?
King City. And it can be that band is actually harder to book because our bass player's in the Real McKenzies, and now our drummer is in the Mad Caddies. So it's kind of the same situation.
But now that same drummer is playing with the McKenzies
Sean's not playing with McKenzies this time.
He couldn't make it. So Boz, who is playing with the Mad Caddies and King City, is filling in for Sean on the upcoming McKenzie tour.
It's a tight-knit punk rock community.
Oh, yeah, who's playing bass? Carl Alvarez is
going to
play. Yeah, his little Joe, who plays bass, who also played in RKL and plays in the McKenzies, can't get into Canada because he's got a record, like a DUI or whatever. So they got Carl Alvarez to fill in. That's pretty cool.
I'm actually going to the show on the 5th when they're here. I'm just more and more getting excited about that. What has been the thing that stood out the most playing with either this band or any of your other bands or throughout these years?
I mean, the first time we went to Europe, I mean, that was huge. And just recently we went to Russia for the second time. We went to St. Petersburg. That was pretty interesting. And
what are the scenes like there?
Not too much different than anywhere else, really. I mean, as far as I could tell, the shows were just pretty much punk rock shows. Yep. But I mean, our St. Petersburg show was kind of a last minute thing, so it was really small. And we had like just borrowed gear. It was kind of funny, but
the best thing about it was we went to St. Petersburg, so we got to walk around and see it. You know, I mean, that's the key, is trying to go somewhere new.
You can sort of get that touristy thing.
Instead of kind of going to the same spots, you know, every time we try to kind of expand to somewhere different. And we went to Moscow the other year, and this year we went to Moscow and St. Petersburg. And you know, so it's nice because we're lucky enough to be able to do it. But now we'd like to let's go somewhere else. You know, somewhere that we haven't been, and so it's cool.
Where would you like to go that you haven't been so far?
Well, actually, like Croatia and going further east and into countries like that, because there's some apparently there's some really good scenes. You know, and so that's something that hopefully we'll maybe go into on some of the next tours or. You know, we went to South Africa, and that was cool, and some different parts of Asia, China. We haven't been to China and different parts of Asia, so.
Indonesia.
Yeah.
So. I don't think we've ever played Mexico City.
We've never played in Mexico.
Never played in Mexico.
What about down in Southern America?
We've been to Brazil, Chile, and Argentina. And that's it, pretty much.
We've been to Venezuela, but that was with Pulley.
So it'd be good to go to Colombia. I could get all of my wife's family out there. We'd have a huge show.
Totally. Imagine that party.
Yep.
Just a big, huge pile of blow and family. That's good times.
La familia.
Yeah.
The family that sniffs together.
I guess you have big families when you're in Colombia because, you know, people are always getting abducted and whatnot. So if you have a big family, you know,
It's always good to have a backup.
We got six other kids. It's all right.
Razorburn off of Lagwagon's 1995 release, Hoss. She broke up with me 2 days later. I think she met the one in Italy. She has a new man. I have a new mustache. Now all my friends are gonna call me Mountain Man. Everyone will think that I'm a stupid drifter. To walk the earth alone.
You guys play predominantly all ages shows, is that correct?
We try to, yeah. Try to?
What leads you to do that? Just to be able to expose your music more to the kids that are listening anyways and might not be the age?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it. You know, when we first started touring, there were shows that I wasn't allowed into that we were playing.
Yeah.
So I'd have to sit out on the sidewalk and play. So I personally like all ages shows just because I remember when I wasn't allowed into my own show. So
that's a good enough reason, I would think.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, it's nice. It should be made available to the kids because they're, you know, a good portion of the fans are not of, well, maybe here they're of drinking age 18, yeah. But in the States.
19 in Saskatchewan, I guess.
19?
19, yeah.
Oh, wow. But in the States, it's 21, and that's not very fair. Yeah. Like, there's a whole lot of kids right there. I mean,
a lot of times you get the people that are of legal age. They have to work the next day, or, you know, they have more responsibilities. And the kids, I remember when I was younger, there were so many shows that I wanted to go to that you see that.
Totally.
You know, bar show only.
I know.
And that's the thing, totally too. Like, shitty. Especially in the States, you know, it's like if you have an all ages show, the people come more for the music. And if you have like a 21 and over show, then the music's kind of the soundtrack to your drinking.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and you figure, you know, fans are getting older, so a lot of them aren't coming. Like, the over 21s have stopped coming, you know, and but the kids just. It's like we're getting older, but the fans stay the same age, sort of, you know?
Hell no.
Move on, but the newer audiences, they're younger. That's
nowadays, you could pretty much almost guarantee some of your fans from the beginning bringing their kids, right?
Yeah, seen it. Really? Yeah, it's happened. It's kind
how does that affect you, just to know that?
It's a trip.
Yeah.
Well, but you got to realize, I mean, we've gotten older and have families also, so, but it's pretty cool that it's been passed down a generation. Yeah. You know, that's a trip, so. That's damn good. That's really neat. So,
In terms of new music that's out there that you guys have been exposed to that maybe some Punk Radio Cast listeners have not had a chance to listen to, we heard about your new band and your band as well. Anybody else that's on your musical radar?
Well, Scott, who's filling in, he's got a band called Viva Death, and that's really cool. And I don't know. Other than that, I've been pretty preoccupied with a lot of stuff. I haven't really checked out a whole lot of new stuff. I mean, The Bronx is a band I've liked for some years now, and I think they're one of the better bands. And bands like Rise Against, and I mean, but it's not like no one's heard of them. You know, it's not like a secret.
Rise of what?
Yeah, who?
As I cover my eyes.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's about it, really. For right now, I'm sure I'm forgetting something. Not much going on up here, anyways. So,
Shiza Manelli.
Oh, Shiza Manelli.
I can't say I've heard of that.
That is, they're from Germany.
From Germany,
and they're like an early hardcore, like RKL-y kind of crazy. They're crazy shit. Yeah, they're awesome.
Sweet.
So look out for them.
Most
definitely. Shiza Manelli.
Shiza Manelli. With a name like that, I mean.
You can't go wrong.
And German, too.
Nothing but good things can happen. So.
And the band that's on tour with us right now, Tat's really good.
Tat. Oh, Tat. Yeah. Right, yeah. There you go.
Is there anything else you guys want to toss out there? I'll open the mic up to you. And.
District of Columbia's. That's myspace.com/DistrictofColumbia's.
King City plug?
Such a whore.
King City. If you like cartoon circus music, come to kingcitysf.com.
I have nothing to plug.
You can plug District of Columbia's.
I think you did a pretty good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And wrapping up the Lagwagon segment, we heard Layman's Terms off of 2000's Let's Talk About Leftovers. Let's talk about From the Mailbag. In this volume, we've got four bands coming at you, including Coffee Shower from Italy and the Ken Band from Japan. That's all coming up after we listen to next interview. This is Tat from the UK, and this is Pessimist on the Grind, volume 26.
A pessimist, you can call me, I'll be around to bring you down. My friendship's underrated, I've been ground. Green for letting you down, give me your heart, I'll give it back. I'm battered and torn, and every silver lining has its crown. Can I be yours now? Sit on your face and say I love you and leave you the next day for someone who loves you and you. But try to trust in me to discover no less than a twist in my sobriety. When you need me the most, I'll be pissed off my face, I'll be stoned and I'll be loving it.
Welcome back to volume 26 of The Grind. We're hanging out with a few people from Tat. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good, good, thanks. Had a good show. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you played a very energetic set. I was unfamiliar with you until I saw that you were on the bill with Lagwagon. Give the Punk Radio Cast listeners a little bit of a history about your band.
Well, we're a three-piece. We're from London, England. And we've been around for about 4 years now. Yeah, basically our debut album's coming out on October the... Hello, darling.
Hello.
Nice of you to join us.
I'm sorry.
So here's our bassist. We were like, yeah, these poor guys staying up late. And we're like, where's Nick? And Gavin's like, outside having a beer?
Yeah, Nick said, I couldn't give a fuck about this interview. I'm
sorry, everyone.
Hey, no worries.
So this is Nick. He has a tiny penis. Anyway, so our debut album's coming out on October the 28th, and it's taken us ages to be able to afford it and put it together and come out here and tour. And so that's that, really. In 2006, we did a bit of a US thing on Warped Tour, And we were lucky enough to meet bands like NOFX and the Bouncing Souls, and ended up in 2007, the following year, touring Europe with NOFX, the Gimmies, the Souls, and took the money from that, recorded our album. And then Kevin Lyman from O6 saw us play the Warped Tour and invited us out for 2008. So that's why we're back here, really.
Right on.
We just did 2 months on Warped Tour, 2 weeks with Alice Cooper, and then started this tour now, which has been a lot
That's
of fun.
Not bad, hey?
No, it's wicked. We've been very, very lucky. Holiday. And I mean, the Lagwagon guys are amazing. They've treated us so well, and all of those bands have. So that's like that's our history so far.
Now, are you signed on Fat Records?
No.
No, we're
just misinformation.
No, we have our own label.
Okay.
And so who told you that?
I was reading it on the internet, so you know that's as truthful as the internet can ever be,
wow,
right?
I've never seen that.
Wow. No. Well, we've toured with a lot of Fat Wreck bands. So.
Yeah, we did.
Maybe
we did
that's why
assume
it. Well, Fat Mike's been wicked. He's been really, really cool. We did talk about it, but he's a great guy, man. I have nothing but good things to say about him. So as far as Fat Wreck goes, awesome.
How does the independent scene in England versus over here differ?
This is a bigger country, so you've got all kinds of different music that's big and actually has a market for it. I think one thing that Tatiana was saying the other day is that the UK is quite dependent on trends. Like, there's a certain kind of flash in the pan trend that's big at the time, and everyone kind of flocked to that, and then it'll die down. The UK more focuses on one big thing as opposed to like everything else.
Okay.
So there's a lot more leeway over here, I guess. There's a lot more space for us to do our thing and to be noticed. But
I guess it's like, sorry, you can actually survive. I think for me that would be the main thing. You can survive. You can actually survive independently here in the UK. You can try and be independent, and that's cool. But you tour for 2 weeks, and then you're done. You've done the country. Whereas here, you can make a living touring the entire country. So, by that factor alone, you can remain independent. And then in Europe, all the countries are broken up. So you can tour France for a bit, then you can tour Switzerland. But in the US, it's this massive piece of earth, and everybody's kind of joined to a degree. You know, you don't. It's just that you don't speak different languages in every single state. So everything sort of meshed together, and you have, you have big scenes, basically.
It's weird as well, like a lot of bands we see in the UK, because there's like one kind of music which is big at a certain point.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen like some bands would change their sound and their image three times just to try and fit in.
And
when over here you can pretty much
versions of them.
Yeah, you can pretty much stay true to who you want to be over here, because there was always be a scene for it. You know?
Yeah.
No, I understand you worked with Rusty Cobb. How was that experience for you? And how did that all come to be?
Well, do you know Rusty Cobb?
Not personally, no.
Well, basically, how did that come about? We were supposed to do an album with a guy in the UK, and he just kept putting it off. And we started looking at different people. And I worked with a guy in Atlanta called Johnny Andrews, who's a fantastic dude, awesome guy. And he basically was a friend and recommended Rusty Cobb. I asked Johnny to produce the record, and he basically got Rusty in on it. And what happened was Rusty ended up doing the record. And so it was a great experience. Everyone was involved. You know, Johnny was still involved, and it was cool. But that's how that happened. Basically got introduced to him. He liked the stuff and agreed to do it. So we were happy, liked his stuff, went out to Atlanta and did it.
Sweet.
Where would you guys like to tour in the future that you haven't had a chance to expose yourselves to the region?
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Japan.
Yeah. Australia.
Yeah.
Tibet.
Iceland.
Far away hot places. Would be lovely.
Yeah.
But, and Alaska. That's not far away.
Oh, we're going to Alaska.
Yeah, no, but I'm looking forward to going there.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Are there anything that any bands or anything like that that you guys have? I have on the radar that perhaps Punk Radio Cast listeners might not be aware of, just, you know, if they're listening to common American stuff all the time, if you guys know of some bands that that you're really big on.
The Beat Union,
yeah.
From Birmingham. They've actually sort of been in Canada. They were on the Warped Tour for 2 months. There's a Reska band, or a ska band from Japan, who are wicked. The Agrolites.
Agrolites
are awesome. Awesome, yeah, they're great. There's so many bands. There's a bunch in England too. As far as the scene, there's a band I really like called The Grit, which are cool. I'm thinking more Punk Radio Cast. I think listeners might dig that.
Bloodstain off of their 2008 EP, This Is Tat. You guys want to get out there before we wrap things up here on the interview?
My penis? Can I get it out there?
You know what? I had a question. Your band, not based off that. Your band name is Tat. You're Tatiana. Tats. What kind of tats do you guys have? You want to talk about your tattoos?
This man's got a few.
Are you the only tattooed individual?
Oh, no. He's got a couple.
Only a couple, because I'm poor.
You got a couple of bigger ones, though. Fancier ones.
That's me at the moment. It will spread. I have other plans. Don't worry. It's all good.
I like that one a lot.
I hope so.
That's a lovely one.
It's there forever.
But I like it there. I like it sort of just there chilling.
It's just chilling
it's
down
there. It's the work
there.
Of...
Yeah, I like the impact.
Well, the rose is going here, and then there's going to be like clouds and mountainy shit going on. It's going
to
be like a landscape.
There's going to
be some eagles and stuff.
No shrimps.
No, because they're...
Yeah.
Trying to understand that. It doesn't matter.
I have to show off that. I'm a big Descendants fan.
That's actually what caused me to ask this question.
I got that one done a few days ago by a friend of our merch girl who's only been tattooing for about 6 months. For about 5.5 minutes before he started to. So I was like, well, you know, see what you can do with this. And he did a really good job. And because this is quite, like, Milo's a pretty simple character to get fucked up. If you make one wrong move, then you probably got it all screwed up. But he did a really good job, and I'm really happy with it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
These were Oliver Peck, if anyone knows who he is.
Okay.
The guy follows Warp Tour around.
Yeah.
It's just the guy.
The guy that does the Warped tats.
Yeah, he just follows it around, and we love him. Puts on all the parties.
How integral do you think it is to have a tat guy around? Someone to do tattoos?
On tour?
Come on,
yeah. Yeah, on that tour, there is
a bit of a demand for it.
Yeah.
So...
What's funny is the guy who was our co-tour manager, who just left the tour for various reasons, Ryan, he got about 4 or 5 tattoos done by Oliver Peck. And then the one day he missed out on getting a tattoo when I got this one done, he came to me and he was like, well, I didn't get a tattoo. Even though he got 6. Or, I'm going to exaggerate, he got 15. the previous week.
He got a huge cock on his arm.
Yeah, by Oliver Peck's guy. What's his name? Josh, isn't it? Is it Josh?
Yeah, I hope.
I think, yeah, he's also a very good tattoo artist who works with Oliver Peck. And
huge cock right there.
He got a bunch done by Oliver Peck.
Look into that one.
No, there's not enough good things to say about that guy. He's actually coming on this tour as well. He's good friends with MXPX, so at the end of the tour, he's coming on for the last few days. So.
Are you looking forward to when MXPX and Only Crime join up?
Hell yeah, because then we move in with Lagwagon.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We get to play a shorter set of the night as well.
Yeah. We have to try and fill 45 minutes tonight.
Yeah. Well, we were supposed to be first on, and then the St. Catharines don't exist.
Yeah.
So like they didn't know about it. They had no idea about this whole thing, and yet they're everywhere on every information sheet, on every laminate. Yeah. So we shut up, and they were like, okay, instead of 30 minutes, chuck an extra 15 minutes into your set. Which is, you know, I mean, fine.
Yeah.
Had we not, like, been doing, you know, we'd stuck to 30-minute sets throughout Warped Tour. We'll shuffle a few songs around, you know, big deal. But, you know, when you're opening for someone, there's the couple of ballads we cut out.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to bore people with ballads while you're opening. And then there's a whole bunch of songs that are sort of rehearsed, but you know what? We'll switch between these ones. And tonight we were like, okay, we played, like, an extra 4 songs and still had 10 minutes left. Like, what the fuck? So.
And I'm completely fucked by out of breath, red-faced a lot.
Yeah, we played the whole set slower tonight, and we still were, like, 31 minutes. And we had added extra songs. I was like, what the... And playing it slower makes me more tired, because I'm not very good at endurance.
It takes more concentration to slow it down than what the original...
Yeah, well, you're like...
We're so used to playing it, like, really fast-paced compared to what the record...
Stupidly fast.
30 minutes, walk, tour, go. Get people's attention. Got to knock their heads off. And, we're getting used to it. It's cool.
You got 15 minutes left. Wow, Jesus.
It's a bit different when we did the Alice Cooper thing as well.
Yeah.
We had to put a couple of slow ones in for that, but... Yeah. You know, we're still in warp tour mode when we came here.
Yeah.
What did we play with Alice Cooper?
We played... we played our ballad on the record.
Oh, we did?
Stay Up, which is an awesome song. We played that with Alice Cooper because it kind of...
It's on our current EP.
Our current EP as well. but we... we played that with Alice Cooper, and that went down pretty well with that kind of crowd. And, so we got a couple of slow ones.
Excellent. So if folks are looking to find you on the internet, where should they be going? MySpace?
You go to myspace.com/tat, and you can go to tatness.com.
And that'll send you straight to the
MySpace.
Yeah, that'll
send you straight to the MySpace.
But you can hear us on iTunes as well, on Napster, on Rhapsody. I still do it.
Yeah.
We've been doing interviews all summer, and yet I still think I'm going to say...
Rapster and Napster.
And I just, every time it comes out, I have to stop and go, fuck, what is it?
Did I get that right?
Napster, yeah.
You can hear us on IHOP, various other pancake houses. I saw you laughing.
So, what else have we got? Our album.
We've done the iTunes.
Did I say that?
I don't know, I got here late.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't got a clue.
Yeah, Little Willy.
Well, let's plug the album again one more time.
All right.
28th
of October, our album Soho Lights is coming out in the US. It'll be available everywhere, Best Buy, your mum's house.
She has iTunes.
I just said a house like a Canadian. I said a house. Your mum's house.
It's what it's about.
It is about that.
I'm not your buddy, friend.
Anyway, I'm just joking.
I always have talking cameramen. I don't know why. What the deal is.
Well, maybe they have like complexes and issues. You got to
cameramen
like,
are people too.
No, they're not. They should be silent.
Cameramen.
Silence.
You're gonna look funny though with your little eye patch. But what was I saying? Yeah, and stuff.
It's we're available on Twitter
everywhere.
As well.
What?
For some reason, I'm not sure about Twitter.
Oh, and Buzznet.
And
YouTube and
like just all over the place, eh?
We do what we can. We're slags.
More importantly than anything else, we are on Twitter.
Yeah.
I assure you.
Fuck the album. Yeah. We're on Twitter.
Twitter.
See, now this is all going over my head. There's
Did
a lot of stuff.
It went over. The 28th? Did I say that?
Yeah, the 28th, yeah.
Twitter.com. What are you doing now? I don't know.
Jacking off.
Updating Twitter.
I don't understand Twitter because it's just exactly the same as that little bar you have on Facebook.
Yeah.
Which says... Nick is.
But people get it to their phones, I think.
But you can do that as well through Facebook.
Why are we on Twitter?
I got a clue. Whoever does Twitter, do something cooler. I don't know. Because I'm bored.
They're going to delete us from their friends.
That was the Tat interview. Thanks to Tatiana, Nick, and Jake for talking to us after their set in Saskatoon. And before we get to the mailbox bands, one more track by Tat. This is Road to Paradise on the Grind, Volume 26.
No one's paved the road to paradise, so guaranteed that I've been nice.
First thing up on From the Mailbox Volume 26 is a track by the Ken Band from Japan. That track was called Dead at Budokan. And if that sounded familiar to you at all, vocally, you're definitely onto something. If that sounded like High Standard to you, you are definitely correct. Ken Yokoyama from the band High Standard is the Ken in the Ken Band. After he finished things up with High Standard, he went on to work with Pizza of Death Records. You can check that out at pizzaofdeath.com. And they tour around Japan a whole lot. Let's get to another track by them. This is called Why, off of 2007's Third Time's a Charm, a Pizza of Death record release, of course. This is the Ken Band, On the Grind, From the Mailbox, Volume 26. The Ken Band with Why off of their 2007, it's the third full-length release. It's called Third Time's a Charm. And if you want to check out more from them, you can hit up myspace.com/KenYokoyama Ken Band. Or hit up pizzaofdeath.com and that'll probably get you there too. Up next, we're going to jump from Japan over to Italy to check out a band called Coffee Shower. These guys have been around for a little bit and they are starting to make big waves in the scene. They've got a brand new release coming out. This is off of that. This one is called Black Tie.
Hey, where did you get to? How far? I wonder if you're running with a sinking heart. We were black tie and we fall apart. We haven't heard from in a while. I see your shadow hanging on a broken tire. Will it tell me all day? You've been driving in the pouring rain.
Nobody would say you're not enough.
Black Tie by the Italian band Coffee Shower. Coming out of the small town of La Aquila in the middle of Italy, these guys have been together for about 10 years and have played with a lot of my favorite bands. They've played the Taste of Chaos tour and also played with Anti-Flag, who we do have on the show next week. These guys currently are shopping around for a new North American label, and if you want to check out what check out their MySpace page, you can hit it up at myspace.com/coffeeshower or the old www.coffeeshower.com. One more track by them. This is Play the Role, Coffee Shower on the Grind from the Mailbox, volume 26. Was Play the Role by Coffee Shower. Because it's Friday, happy Friday everyone, by the way, I just don't feel right about sending you guys home without some more tunes to rock out to. So I'm going to toss a couple more bands into this edition of From the Mailbox. These bands were brought up a little bit earlier when we were talking to Lagwagon. Since everyone in Lagwagon has at least one musical side project on the go, we've got a couple to pick from. And we're going to toss some King City at you in a little bit. But right now, this is District of Columbia's and Devil in the Details, On the Grind, Volume 26.
Yeah!
Devil in the Details. And one more track by District of Columbia, as this one is called Kill the Witness. By District of Columbia's. I gotta give these guys props, not just for some awesome music, but also for having Kids in the Hall as a top friend on their MySpace page. Being the Canadian guy that I am, growing up when I did, I as well appreciate the Kids in the Hall. Going now from 80s hardcore style music side project to a self-described cartoon circus music kind of thing, I think is what Leon described this as. This is King City with a track off of a CD that's named the same thing. This is The Last Siesta, King City. We'll be right back.
Some funky stuff coming out of King City. That was The Last Siesta. And that's going to leave us with one track to go on this Friday edition of The Grind, number volume 26. Right now, you guys, if you go right now to myspace.com/burnside780, there is some brand new video that you can check out. It's the visual of the Tat interview and the Lagwagon interview. So you can actually see the tattoos that Nick, Jake, Tatiana, and I were talking about during that interview. And along with the Lagwagon stuff, we have three live song performances from their show in Saskatoon. If you're a Lagwagon fan, you're going to want to check that out. What else is coming up? Next week, we have some interviews from Stacey Steele. She, our Calgary correspondent, she caught up with Anti-Flag and The Creep Show a few days back, and also a band called The Cullendecker Freefall. If you've listened to The Grind at all, then you will be familiar with those dudes. After that, probably in another couple weeks, we have some stuff with The Real Mackenzies. As you heard in the Lagwagon interview, they had some special guests, including the Descendants, Carl Alvarez on bass, and Boz Riviera from the Mad Caddies on drums, filling in for Sean Sellers. Also, Boz plays drums in the band called King City, and we're going to hear one more track from them, getting you into the weekend. This one is called Bollywood. Thank you very much for listening, guys, and I will see you next week with another edition of The Grind on punkradiocast.com.